Thank you for joining us here today, Maria Luisa Mendoza.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
And again, I've been speaking with Maria.
Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
Are you looking for a child development program for your preschooler? Columbia Opportunities Head Start offers full-day early childhood development activities and support to eligible 3- and 4-year-olds throughout Columbia County at no cost to families. School readiness, health, nutrition, and parent engagement activities are offered throughout the year. Head Start classrooms are located in Hudson, Philmont, Taconic Hills, Volusia, and Chatham. Give your child a head start. For more information, 518-828-6312 or columbiaopportunities.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Scribner's Catskill Lodge, a 38-room boutique hotel located in Hunter, offering a seasonal outdoor pool, weekend wellness programming, and nightly s'mores around the fire pits. Located at 13 Scribner Hollow Road, across the street from Hunter Mountain, 8 miles from the Forest Trails in Catskill Park, and 22 miles from the town of Woodstock. Scribner's is also home to the Prospect Restaurant and Bar, serving modern fare. Information at 518-628-5130 or at www.scribnerslodge.com.
Oh, honey, I'm so glad you brought me up to Hudson, New York, so we could gamble about with the finches and the sparrow families.
Yeah, honey.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's local news show for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Roman. Today we will hear from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy and what their fall schedule of music and lectures looks like. We'll also hear from Windham Greene County legislator Lori Torgerson and others about the Greene County Jail and the vote tonight in the Greene County Legislature. Local news, weather, and more on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves.
Controlled.
On air, in air, channel.
Connection.
And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, September the 5th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. A chaotic first day of hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Also on the Wednesday rundown, a new report finds teachers nationwide are paid less than other professionals, and a new tool is out that grades the integrity of organic labels. First, our top story, the confirmation hearings for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, got off to a chaotic start on Capitol Hill Tuesday. Politico reports that Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee demanded that Republican Chairman Chuck Grassley adjourn the hearing as more than a dozen protesters in the gallery called for it to end.
Grassley's opening statement was interrupted by Senator Kamala Harris of California. She took issue with the timing of the release of 42,000 pages of documents related to Kavanaugh's work in former President George W. Bush's White House. Politico reports that the document dump on Monday night was orchestrated by a lawyer for Bush. According to Capitol Police, 17 protesters were arrested in the first hour of the hearing. Educators and students across the country headed back to school this month. Catherine Davis Young has been looking into a study that finds more and more teachers are struggling as the gap widens between what they're paid and what they could be making in other lines of work.
The report out today from the nonpartisan Economic Policy Institute shows on average U.S. teachers make about 24% less than professionals in other fields who have similar levels of education. The report shows the pay gap began growing in the late 1990s as wages in other labor markets were increasing, but education wasn't keeping up. Lawrence Michel, one of the study's authors, says the trend continued during and after the Great Recession.
A lot of that had to do with states actually cutting taxes for the rich and for corporations. And those that do that, you know, basically try to make their budgets balance by cutting one of the main parts of what every state budget is, which is education.
Michelle says many states slashed education budgets during the recession, but never restored funding in the years since the recovery.
The study found the pay gap between teachers and other professionals was widest in Arizona, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Colorado. All states where teachers have staged protests this year. Meantime, New Hampshire needs more workers, but a new report says criminal records are keeping qualified job seekers out of the workforce.
The unemployment rate in the Granite State is just 2.7%, lowest in the nation. The opioid epidemic has hit New Hampshire hard, and the number of heroin and fentanyl felony cases opened by public defenders in the state has been growing every year. According to Jeannie Horusco with the ACLU of New Hampshire, a criminal record alone can eliminate someone from consideration for a job regardless of circumstances or rehabilitation, and she says that's not helping anyone.
It benefits New Hampshire families, communities, and businesses to ensure that people who are released from incarceration have the opportunity to successfully re-enter their communities.
The report, called Lost Labor, recommends reforming restrictions on occupational licensing and eliminating the criminal record checkoff box from job applications. Some critics say that would interfere with private business practices. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And support for Oregon's retirement savings program remains high. That's according to a new survey. More on the story from Eric Tegadoff.
Oregon Saves, an alternative savings program for workers whose employers don't offer retirement plans, began phasing in a year ago. Since then, support for the program has grown, DHM research shows, with more than 8 in 10 Oregonians supporting or strongly supporting the program. Vice President of the research firm John Horvick says this type of overwhelming backing is rare for public policies.
I'm a pollster. I'm asking Oregonians questions about public policy matters all the time. To get something this high, nearly universal support for a program is quite remarkable. So this program really does stand out as having broad support across the state.
DHM polled about 1,000 working-age Oregonians, following up on a similar survey from last year, and found support rose slightly from 79 to 82%. According to the state treasury, savings topped $4.5 million, and more than 30,000 people signed up in the first year of Oregon Saves.
Finally, Eric Galanis tells us shoppers in the Lone Star State can now pick between organic dairy products produced by large-scale factory operations or by family farms.
Mark Castell with the Cornucopia Institute says there are now essentially two organic product lines. One maintains original standards, including better nutrition, care for the environment, humane treatment of animals, and economic justice for farm workers. Castell argues that the other is all about profit and gaming the system. He says since both lines share the same USDA logo, their mobile-friendly organic dairy scorecard can help consumers spot the difference.
So this is a way to vote with your pocketbook for better food for your family and to save the livelihoods of these hardworking farmers.
Castell points to one case where career bureaucrats at the USDA recommended that Aurora Organic Dairy, with large-scale operations in Texas and Colorado, be decertified as organic and banned from commerce after evidence of willful violation of the law. Aurora's CEO maintains the company strictly adheres to organic guidelines and notes that the company has been certified throughout its history.
Austin-based White Mountain Foods ranked excellent, and the Texas-based Whole Foods store brand ranked very good on the scorecard. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Wednesday with a high near 87, low around 71. Then Thursday, there's a 50% chance of rain. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 83. Thursday night, there's a 20% chance of rain with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 60. Friday should be partly sunny with a high near 71, a low around 55. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported creative community radio. Tune in the early morning hours of Thursday, September 6th for Transmission Arts on the radio. Overnight is Creative Composition. Then at 5 a.m. Radio News on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC. You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's local news show for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today we will hear from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy and what their fall schedule of music and lectures looks like. We'll also hear from Windham Greene County Legislator Lori Torgerson and others about the Greene County Jail and the vote tonight in the Greene County Legislature. Local news, weather, and more on All Together Now. That was from the soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz. It turns out two local troubadours have other views about hearts. Here's Catskill's Brian DeWan with The Human Heart and the Magnetic Fields with I Think I Need a New Heart. That was Bjork with I've Seen It All from the Dancer in the Dark soundtrack. This is Feist with I Feel It All. That was David Byrne asking the musical question from his 2018 release. Before that, St. Vincent, who's often shared stages with the Talking Head, with her song Mass Education. With her song Mass Seduction. That was Sophie with Immaterial from Oil of Every Pearl's Uninsides 2018 release. And before that, another 2018 release. That one, that track from Sophia Luiso with The Interior Life of Another from her album Irregular Territories. That was The Upsetters with Blackboard Jungle Dub from the album of the same name from 1973. Next, another track from the same album, Dreamland Dub.
Together Now.
Every fall, Sanctuary for Independent Media kicks off a whole new list of events and workshops and other happenings. And so I'm sitting here with Steve Pierce and Brandon Miller to talk about what's ahead.
Welcome. So I know we've... Welcome, guys. I feel we're welcoming to your... Okay. So I know you got we've got some workshops in the works. Can you guys just kind of talk about what workshops we have coming up?
Well, we've got an exciting... full schedule of stuff, workshops, events, gallery show, and we've actually been working all day finalizing our brochure. We don't like to work unless it's really hot and humid, and the environmental conditions weren't really good enough here at the sanctuary until today, but we've been spending all day working on it. Brandon, tell us what's coming up in the realm of workshops. You're our arts and education coordinator. I know you've been working hard on this. What's up?
Well, we're really excited about our Fall 18 series of workshops. There's going to be a lot of focus on Nature Lab, which stands for North Troy Art, Technology, and Urban Research in Ecology. And we're using our entire environmental campus. We have several lots and buildings on one block here in North Troy. And these lots have been turned into gardens with the Collard City Growers. So there's going to be workshops that have to have a focus on biology and art and on gardening. And so some of them, just to get a little bit excited about what's coming up, is we have three Wednesday afternoon workshops that are 3 till 7 p.m. That are bio art, and they are connected to our BioArt Futures project that was funded by the National Endowment for the Arts. One is called Hormone Hacking, Harvesting Endocrine Disruptors with bioartist Byron Rich. And with some simple DIY tools and protocols, you can learn to extract and identify estrogenic compounds in liquids ranging from local waterways to common foods. So we will be checking out the water right here in our sink as well as the Hudson River. Another one of these bioart workshops.
That should be very comforting.
Yes, because I believe that we will find out that there is a lot of estrogenic compounds in our water. The next one gets even more exciting with feral fermentation with bioartists Layla Nadir and Carrie Adams, which is going to be a class in slow cooking, looking at the ancient practices of fermentation, where we will end up creating edible bioart that will take 2 weeks for microbes to cook for you.
That does not sound yummy.
And then the third bioart workshop, which is coming in November, these are all on Wednesdays. You can check at mediasanctuary.org to see the dates, is Who Do You Think You Are? DNA Ancestry and Biosurveillance with bioartist Heather Dewey-Hagborg. In between that, we will be having workshops in our gardens that really focus on permaculture from the grassroots up here in North Troy. We're having a seedy social with Collard City Growers and the next Epic Seed Library on Sunday, October 28th. And the Great Leaf Forward with Collard City Growers on Sunday, November 4th, where you learn what you need to do to put your garden into winter hibernation. And then finally, fruit and berry propagation on December 15th, which is also our North Troy Holiday Justice and Peace celebration, which moves us into events.
Yeah, but first, before we get into events, yes. I want to talk about the art exhibit that's coming in soon. Okay. I know you guys talked about getting ready for it earlier today. Who's the artist that will be featured in this art exhibit?
Well, we're really excited for this season because we're actually featuring an artist who turned 20 at the Sanctuary this summer. She was an intern with us. Her name is Catherine Rafferty. She's a student at RIT, and she documented our summer program where we worked with youth from who were part of the Rensselaer County Summer Youth Employment Workforce Development Program. And she documented what we're calling our exhibition Roots for Resilience. And our youth this summer in our program focused on art, they focused on science, and they focused on media to look at environmental justice in our communities and also to tell stories of resilience. So the photos will be showcasing the youth and the community from the sanctuary moving more deeply into planting roots for resilience.
Sounds beautiful. I can't wait to see it.
You know, you didn't mention the Be the Media workshops, which we're also having, but I'll just quickly go over that because that's so connected to our efforts here at WOOC. But we're going to have a series of workshops. One of them is going to be on voice tracking. It's a guy who has been working for years at the New School for Radio and Television. And they renamed themselves and took Radio and Television out of their name, and I think they took him out of their lineup, which is crazy because you have the need for all the same skills regardless of the media form that you're talking about. But Tom Hahn is his name, and he's going to be doing a workshop on the art of voice. Elizabeth Press, one of our Sanctuary volunteers and board members and emerita of Democracy Now!, is going to do a session on audio editing. We're going to have an interviewing workshop. And we're also going to have kind of a new producer orientation. That was Dave's idea, a place where people who are interested in getting involved with this radio station, with this news program, can find out how to do it and what kind of skills are necessary. So those are all coming up in the fall.
Sounds yes, great. Certainly stay tuned to the website to find out when those are. So events. What's going to be happening here at the Sanctuary?
So we have we always try to do a couple of music events and a couple of film screenings and a couple of speakers, and this season is no exception. We're going to launch on Wednesday, September 26th, with a great band that's been traveling all over the world. It's called Delgrays, and it's a kind of a roots trio. Sounds very bluesy, but they're singing in French and playing music that they say is derived from their own roots, which is the French Caribbean island of Guadeloupe. But filtered through the New Orleans musical pantheon of styles, it's a super political band. The name Delgrés comes from a guy who was killed in 1802 fighting against the reimposition of slavery by Bonaparte. And so their whole sound and their whole style and their whole approach to culture is based on this. You know, fight against slavery and white supremacy and so forth. But it's a blues band, and it's, you know, it's a party, and it's a good thing because it's also going to be a celebration of the first year anniversary of this show, the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and all the great stuff that's going on at the Sanctuary. So, and it's also going to be the gallery opening, so it'll be a lot of fun for that.
Oh, it does sound fun. It sounds very fun. Where can people find tickets for that event?
If they go to mediasanctuary.org, you can get tickets in advance. They're on sale now. We also have, there's a bunch of stuff, and I'm sure we're going to run out of time before we get to all of them, but I'll say very quickly that same week, our annual Story Harvest Festival on Saturday, September 29th, which is part of the Hudson Valley Ramble. What's it called? Is that what it is? Hudson Valley Ramble? Well, it's part of the whole Hudson. I don't think it's part of the Collar City Ramble. That's a good point. But there's a whole celebration up and down the Hudson Valley that week, and that Saturday is the finale of it, and we're going to have a great group from down around Woodstock called Root Brew and a couple other bands with free music and food and arts and all that outside at Freedom Square. So that's the first week of our season. And then I'll mention one other one event, a group that we just booked called La Dama. It's four women from Latin American countries who are celebrating the culture of the Americas, different countries and cultures. And it's a pretty amazing group. They were just, I think a year or so ago, they were at Mass Boca. They've also been traveling all around the world. So we're looking forward to that.
And what do we have? Who do we have for speakers coming up?
Well, we actually are bringing back Chris Hedges. And he is coming on November 3rd. And he's the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and best-selling author who is going to show us an America that should shame us, a land of rampant and deadly drug addiction, of escape into gambling, sadism and pornography, of xenophobic scapegoating, and of plundering by the rich and powerful. And that's the good news.
Yeah, he's got a new book, right? How to Be Happy Without Being Happy.
Actually, we were tricked into doing this. He's calling it, it's called America the Farewell Tour. And I've always been a big fan of the folk rock trio America. And I thought, yes, what a coup. And it turns out to be Chris Hedges in his new book. But that's okay. Funny. I'm sure it's going to be just as enjoyable.
Oh, we have another book, too, actually.
On a horse with no name.
Leah Penniman, who is local, right, from our region, has written a book called Farming While Black. And she is a Black Creole educator, farmer, author, food justice activist from Soulfire Farm in Grafton, New York. And she's exploring a global network of farmers working to increase farmland stewardship by people of color, restore Afro-Indigenous farming practices, and end food apartheid. And we are really honored to celebrate her new book with a book opening and party at the Sanctuary on November 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That one should be really great, actually, because she's a very powerful speaker. And for anybody who's ever gone out for Community Day at Soulfire, it's a very interesting place, and you can learn a lot.
Yeah, she's absolutely great. She's been an inspiration to us and a longtime supporter. You know, I forgot to mention on our music programming, the folks at the Egg are doing a special benefit for WOOC. They're super supportive of us for our giving exposure to African pop and reggae music. And they have coming up in October on the 25th, a special performance by Vusi Malasela, legendary South African singer-songwriter. He was here 2 years ago at the Egg. He's coming back with his band, and it's a great show. It's a celebration of nearly 25 years of freedom from apartheid in South Africa, which Vusi Malasela was a huge part of in that struggle, and also a celebration of the 100th birthday of Nelson Mandela. And he's pulling out a whole songbook of stellar South African artists, including Miriam Makeba, Hugh Masekela, Dorothy Masuka, Brenda Fassie, folks who are legendary in South Africa and whose music has gotten out as well.
And if we have time, let's tell about the jazz that we're bringing, and then we can move on to filmmaking.
I see that Jonah has the hook, but
2 minutes.
Yeah, so we have two great jazz shows from local and regional artists. Ornette Kid is one. Trumpeter Chris Payson is going to be playing the music of Ornette Coleman with his group. And we have a return visit by Ross Moshe, a young man who was here 10 years ago as part of our Free Jazz from the Sanctuary series. He's coming back. He's got a great concept where he's performing music that he's written based on his father's letters from Vietnam, which he just discovered. And so he's excited about doing that, and we're excited about having him come back.
Great.
And we have two films, filmmakers coming, two films. One is Crime and Punishment, which has won awards all over, and it's a film that chronicles the struggles of a group of Black and Latino whistleblower cops and the young minorities they are pressured to arrest and summon in New York City. And it is supposed to be an extraordinary film, and we have the filmmaker Stephen Mang coming to present that. And then we also, and that's on November 14th, and then we also have a film that's been recommended by a local group, Urban Grief, called Resilience, the Biology of Stress and the Science of Hope, that examines the emerging science around toxic stress and how it can negatively affect our brains and bodies of children if left untreated. So we really have a lot between art, music, science, writing. We're really, really excited to get started with our fall season, and we welcome everyone who's listening to join us.
Yeah, but if you want to find out more of the details, the, you know, everything, tickets in advance, times and dates, just go to mediasanctuary.org, which is also where you can hear this show streamed live if you're outside the broadcast area, and also hear it streaming at your leisure, audio on demand at mediasanctuary.org. So I hope you can check that out.
All Together Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call.
Hello, this is WGXC 90.7 FM Accra. Do you read me?
WGXC believes in community. We are a hands-on participatory radio station and serve many communities. WGXC's volunteer programs range in age from 9 to 84 and come from all walks of life. What they produce is as varied as the communities we serve. WGXC is an unbiased source for local news and cultural affairs information. Programming made by and for youth airs daily, and our celebrated musical programming is unique, diverse, and eclectic.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Next, we have these reports.
I'm Neva Wartell, filling in as guest host. We are going to talk about what you need to know about the Greene County Jail proposal. We're going to be having an examination of the proposal to build a new Greene County Jail in Coxsackie and the $39 million bond resolution that's scheduled for a vote by the Greene County Legislature, the Public Safety Committee, is voting tomorrow, September 5th, and then we've got another vote of the Finance Committee coming up on the 17th, and then the full legislature will vote on the 19th. So the frequently and some of the not so frequently asked questions about the proposal are going to be addressed today by County Legislator Lori Torgerson, pardon me, of Windham, who's here with us in the studio, and a couple of members of the Greater Greene County Coalition for Good Government. We're joined by Mary Finneran and Greg Lubo. And on the phone, we're also joined by Insha Rahman, who is program director for the Vera Institute for Social Justice in New York City. Insha, are you with us? Are you with
I
us?
Am.
You are.
I am. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being available to join us. So first, let's start by letting Insha give us a view of the national landscape around jail reform in general and the growing trend toward downsizing jails and prioritizing community alternatives and other such positive movements. And then we'll get into the issue here in Greene County with the folks who are with us in the studio. So, Insha.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So what's happening in Greene County, which is Greene County is facing this question of whether or not to spend a tremendous amount of money building a new jail, a new facility, or should there be another option, another way? And historically, in this country, whenever it seems that the jail that currently exists in a county or a city or a local jurisdiction is either at capacity, meaning all of the beds are full, or it's over capacity, meaning there are actually more people incarcerated there than should be, or that it's just a really old facility, or there's some other reason to think about being critical of the facility itself, the default response historically has been, okay, we just need to sort of put the money in and go ahead and build a new jail and to build a bigger jail just in case we get to this question again another 10, 15, 20 years from now. That is how in this country we have faced the question of what to do about having a new jail. And, you know, just as some background for listeners, mass incarceration, this phrase that we use to describe 2.2 million Americans in jail and prison, this is actually a relatively recent phenomenon in the history of this country. It is a phenomenon of the last five decades, not of America over centuries. And the reason why is sort of in the 1970s, as we saw a spike in crime and a response that was law and order, a war on drugs, the response in local counties was to say, we'll put aside money for public safety, including corrections and jails, and to the detriment of not investing enough in community alternatives, alternatives such as treatment centers, housing, supports that allow people to perhaps, instead of being in jail, be in the community, be safe, and really actually be successful in sort of staying on the right side of the law and staying with their families, communities, employment, all of those things that sort of you and I know makes people successful and able to live healthy, thriving lives. And so that's the larger sort of picture of what's happening across this country. I first learned about the very specific question in Greene County about what to do with the jail when the New York State Commission on Corrections, which is a state oversight body with members appointed by the governor, issued a report at the beginning of this year naming a couple of jails in New York State that they called the worst offenders, meaning that they had the worst conditions. They were sort of out of compliance with what we expect as basic minimum standards for jails in our state. And Greene was on that list for a number of reasons. One was that, you know, the Greene County Jail as currently exists is an old jail. It's been around for decades now, probably a couple of decades past its shelf life. It's also a facility that was having a lot of problems with just sort of making sure that it was running efficiently. And, you know, in April of this year, the jail was taken offline, meaning, you know, it was closed, there's nobody incarcerated there, and people who were, you know, sort of supposed to be held in the jail there are now being held in two different jails, Columbia County as well as Ulster County. And so the question really sort of that Greene County is facing is like, what to do next? Should we build a new jail? Should we try and rehab this old jail? Or should we think about another option, which is continuing to actually create a shared jail with another county, which is a very unique concept, certainly in New York State. There is no other county within the state that has done that, but is actually a really common concept in other parts of the country where in places like Ohio and Kentucky, there are lots of what are called shared jails or regional jails. And so why in this moment are we sort of having this conversation in Greene County where it's not just the default of, yes, let's approve a several million dollar bond and build a new, bigger jail, but it's because we're at this moment where we're really taking a critical look at mass incarceration, about those 2.2 million people in jail and prison across America, and in Greene County, very specifically, the about sort of 70 to 80 people who are in jail on any given day under Greene County's watch. The question really is can we do better and can we do public safety in a different way? And I think as other folks who know Greene County far better than I do can say, yes, I think there are definitely alternatives than to simply building a new, bigger jail.
Okay, well, that's a pretty comprehensive picture right there. Again, you're tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. This is the WGXC Afternoon Show, and we are talking about the proposal to build a new Greene County jail that would be in Coxsackie. That's the proposal that's on the table. And a loan or bond of several million dollars that would be a 30-year obligation. So we're joined here in the studio by Greene County Legislator Lori Torgerson. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you, Neva?
Good, good. Thank you so much for being available to join us.
Happy to be here.
And by the way, again, that was Insha Rahman on the phone, and she's still on the phone with us. So, Insha, please feel free to chime in as you feel the need to. We're also in the studio with Mary Finneran and Greg Lubo, who are just some of the growing coalition, the Greater Greene County Coalition for Good Government. And this is a nonpartisan coalition of concerned citizens. Lori, can you bring us up to date? I know that's a tall order, but what is exactly going on? We have this the vote before the this Public Safety Committee, which will be voting tomorrow, on what exactly?
Okay, so this has been going on for some time, and some of us have been talking quite a lot about it, but I'm fearful that the greater public doesn't really have all the information, so I'm really happy to be able to have this conversation today. So where are we right now? Tomorrow is September 5th, and the Public Safety Committee of the Legislature will be voting on a $39 million bond to build a $47.1 million jail. The other $8 million will come from county reserves. The $39 million bond, of course, does not include interest. So at the end of the day, we're probably looking at a $60-plus million expense to Greene County and its residents. So the Public Safety Committee will vote tomorrow. If that bond is approved in the Public Safety Committee, that will be considered by the Finance Committee, as you said, on September 17th, and then by the full legislature on September 19th. If I could just take 1 second to just give a tiny little bit of my background so folks that are hearing who might not know, other than being a legislator representing Windham, Ashland, Jewett, and Prattsville, I also come to this issue with a pretty extensive background in criminal justice policy for the state. I was the director of reentry for nearly 20 years, worked in corrections, worked in parole, and have a PhD in criminal justice. So this is an issue a subject that I'm, quite well versed in and very passionate about. From my perspective, and we've spent a good bit of time over the past 2 years really looking at alternatives, I feel very strongly that we have a real option in doing better criminal justice here, and certainly from a financial perspective, in looking at a shared jail with Columbia County.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's been a lot of discussion about possible other possibly viable alternatives, and one of the complaints that I'm hearing is that the examination of alternatives, possible alternatives, is not being given a fair shot, so that's a big concern. There are a lot of questions that remain unanswered, or at least not answered to the public's satisfaction. And I'm going to put it forward to all of you. What are some of the questions most often encountered when you're talking about this hot topic with folks around Greene County? I'm sure that there are some questions that come up more often than others, and then there are other questions that have come up that somehow have gotten swept under the rug and not given any attention to at all.
Well, one thing, and I'll be
and
chiming.
Mary.
I'm Mary Finneran. Now I lost my train of thought. The jobs mantra, I mean, that people are looking for jobs, that they're afraid they're going to be losing their jobs. And with the debt load from this, I'm also afraid. I'm not afraid that the people who have jobs are going to be losing them, but I am afraid for other areas because with this kind of a debt load, and it's my understanding that they have the $39,000 bond, but they also have the $51,000 loan.
Million.
Thank you.
Did I say dollar?
I can give them the money, but so I'm very, very concerned about the debt load to the county and how that will impact. As I'm a retired teacher, I'm concerned about school districts. They have a hard enough time passing their budget with a 2% cap that they have to stick to. In order to get the money for people, and so when they have, then when they have to meet them.
The WGXC Newsroom. This is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. The 535.com website updated their election forecast for the U.S. House votes this fall on September 3rd, and they are still predicting the narrowest of victories by Democrat Antonio Delgado over incumbent John Faso, 48.1% to 47.9%. The election analyst did adjust the results from a Siena College poll released last week that showed Faso had a 5-point advantage over Delgado. The website says the poll is more like a 1.2% advantage for Faso, and I quote, based on shifts in the generic congressional ballot since the poll was conducted, and polls are adjusted for house effects, the tendency for a firm's polls to lean toward Democrats or Republicans, end quote. Previously, an IMGE Insights poll gave Faso a 5-point lead, which the website adjusts to a 3.6% lead, and a DCCC targeted team poll gave Delgado a 7-point lead, which the website adjusts to a 3.1% advantage. See the 538.com website for complete details. David Lombardo reports in Capital Confidential that after a House Republican PAC has been running anti-Antonio Delgado ads for weeks, now the House Democrats PAC is placing ads against Faso in the New York 19th congressional election. The House Majority Political Action Committee is spending more than $800,000 on advertisements attacking the freshman Republican for taking campaign contributions from the insurance industry and then voting for tax breaks for insurance companies. Republicans have been running ads critiquing Delgado's 2006 hip-hop album he released under the name A.D. The Voice. The Democrats' 30-second attack ad begins airing at the unofficial start of the campaign, the day after Labor Day, while a one-minute pro-Delgado ad started airing last week. Read the full story in Capital Confidential. Nick Reisman at New York State of Politics reports that former Vice President Joe Biden endorsed Democrat Antonio Delgado in the 19th congressional election against incumbent Republican John Faso on September the 4th. I am proud to endorse Antonio Delgado for Congress in New York's 19th congressional district. The people of upstate New York deserve an engaged representative with local working class roots who understands their concerns and provides a positive vision for a better future. Antonio has consistently championed the right to universal quality, affordable health care for everyone. Antonio will continue to fight for the rights of everyone in his district by putting in the hard work and being accountable, end quote. Read the full story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update.
For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
Here are some more headlines from WOOCLP, WGXC's partner station in Troy.
The New York Times editorial board on Tuesday endorsed Governor Andrew Cuomo over Cynthia Nixon in next week's Democratic primary. Cuomo, quote, has done little to combat the corruption in the legislature and his own administration, and he has allowed the subway system, the foundation of the New York City economy, to rot, the board wrote. But when he, quote, is focused on governing, no New York politician in memory has been as effective.
White House Chief of Staff John Kelly told colleagues that President Donald Trump is, quote, unhinged, according to Fear, Trump in the White House, a new book by journalist Bob Woodward, obtained by multiple media outlets. Quote, he's an idiot. It's pointless to try to convince him of anything. He's gone off the rails. We're in crazy town, end quote, Kelly said in a staff meeting, according to the book. Quote, I don't even know why any of us are here. This is the worst job I've ever had, end quote. Kelly said in a statement that, quote, the idea that I ever called the president an idiot is not true.
A new report from the Environmental Protection Agency's Inspector General says that the cost of security services for then-Administrator Scott Pruitt increased from $1.6 million to $3.5 million in less than 1 year. Pruitt resigned in July amid a cloud of ethical scandals.
Members of the Best Employee Service team implored NYRA on Monday to extend funding to the Backstretch Workers Clinic for the 2019 season. The past 2 years have seen cutbacks in funding for health services needed by the Backstretch Workers. Funds were made available this year through a large private donation, but there is no guarantee that they will be fully funded next year.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday for the first day of a Supreme Court nomination hearing. During a break for lunch, Fred Gutenberg, the father of a Parkland shooting victim, approached the nominee and extended his hand, but Kavanaugh turned and walked away. I guess he did not want to deal with the reality of gun violence, Gutenberg said on Twitter. The hearing will resume at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday.
Here's today's congressional campaign update with news about Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, his Democratic opponent Antonio Delgado, the rest of the campaign for the New York's 19th Congressional District.
The River Reporter writes about the candidate forum August 29th in Calicoon with incumbent Republican Congressperson John Faso and Democrat challenger Antonio Delgado. Sponsored by the New York League of Conservation Voters Education Fund, the Friends of the Upper Delaware River, the Coalition of the Delaware River Watershed, and the Delaware Highlands Conservancy, the forum focused on the environment. Faso bragged about helping to obtain funding for the Upper Delaware Council and aiding in efforts to get $5 million in funding this year for the Delaware River Conservation Act. Delgado spoke about the need for alternative energy in the district. Discussion of the farm bill, though, highlighted the differences between the candidates. Faso said, and I quote, most of the issues have to do with SNAP and enhanced work rules for SNAP, end quote, which Faso supported and which will lower the number of people eligible for food stamps. He added, and I quote, but leaving that aside, I do think we're going to compromise on that, and some of these issues are going to get compromised out, end quote. Delgado called the cuts in food stamps, and I quote, cruel, end quote. He said, and I quote, with all of the hunger and the pain that people are feeling out there right now, the food deserts that people have to endure, why are we going about figuring out how to make it more difficult to eat for those people? I don't get it, end quote. Read the full story in the River Reporter. Salvador Rizzo in the Washington Post fact-checks the Congressional Leadership Fund's new attack ad against Rhinebeck-based Democrat Antonio Delgado, who is running for the U.S. House seat now held by John Faso, a Republican who lives in Kinderhook. The Washington Post gives the ad four Pinocchios and says it is largely false. The ad does not focus on Delgado's positions on issues. Instead, it is all about Delgado's 2006 hip-hop album. It claims the lyric, Dead Presidents Can't Represent Me, have Delgado attacking our democracy and mocking our values, when actually Dead Presidents is rap slang for money. Read the full story in the Washington Post.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Wednesday with a high near 87, low around 71. Then Thursday, there's a 50% chance of rain. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 83. Thursday night, there's a 20% chance of rain with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 60. Friday should be partly sunny with a high near 71, a low around 55. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported creative community radio. Tune in the early morning hours of Thursday, September 6th for Transmission Arts on the radio. Overnight is Creative Composition. Then at 5 a.m. Radio News on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC. You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's local news show for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today we will hear from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy and what their fall schedule of music and lectures looks like. We'll also hear from Windham Greene County Legislator Lori Torgerson and others about the Greene County Jail and the vote tonight in the Greene County Legislature. Local news, weather, and more, and All Together Now. That was from the soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz. It turns out two local troubadours have other views about hearts. Here's Catskill's Brian DeWan with The Human Heart and The Magnetic Fields with I Think I Need a New Heart. That was Bjork with I've Seen It All from the Dancer in the Dark soundtrack. This is Feist with I Feel It All. That was David Byrne asking the musical question from his 2018 release. Before that, St. Vincent, who's often shared stages with the Talking Head, with her song Mass Education. With her song Mass Seduction. That was Sophie with Immaterial from Oil of Every Pearl's Uninsides.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Hey,
is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.